Turn your Bibles to James chapter 1, please. James chapter 1. And it's kind of a cross-reference here to what Peter talked about and when he talked about manifold temptations. And James talks about diverse temptations. You know, it's remarkable how close the book of James and the book of Peter are when you start to read them. They're very similar, their messages are. And, you know, James is to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, right? And then Peter wrote to the Jews, right? He wrote to the Jews as well. So you see the focus is clear. Persecution was definitely part of that. And patience. Patience was part of that. And we're going to talk about that a little bit here. And I guess what I want to do is try to help you and me at the same time, because I need it too. Amen. I'll be honest with you, I need it too. And I'm not preaching this because I've mastered this. And I think, well, I've got this all figured out, so I've got it all figured out for you. No, God has it all figured out. God's got it all. It's all in His Word, and we ought to try to live up to it. And that doesn't mean that we always do, and that doesn't mean that I always do, but that should be our goal, is to live up to this, live to this standard that God has set, because it is living within the privilege that God has given us. We are privileged children tonight. You know, sometimes you don't feel like it because you are in a trial and you are having hardships and difficulties and challenges. And everybody here, if I were to take this microphone and just pass it around and say, give me one of the trials that you're facing right now, I don't think there's probably isn't anybody in this room that would say, well, I don't have any. Well, maybe the little babies would. Then they would cry because they wanted something, right? But there isn't anybody here that would say, I don't have any trials. I'm doing good. I don't have any hardships. Everything's going good, and I'm not having any problems. I don't have any opposition from the devil. I don't have any opposition from the world, my own flesh. I'm not having I don't think anybody would say that, honestly. So trials come to all of us. They're not respecters of persons. They will come to all of us, and they're all different, and they come in different packages. But the answer is found in the Word of God. The answer to those trials and how to have joy through those trials. And I think Peter tries to help us through those trials as well, to try to encourage us to, you know, keep going for the Lord, tries to encourage us to keep going and not to lose heart and not to become discouraged though the trials may run long. And James does the same thing here. So James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And you know, that word is interesting, when you fall into them. It's not talking about falling into sin and wickedness and evil and perversion or anything like that. It's talking about falling into temptations or trials. When you just walk along one day, whoop, there you go, you just fell right into one. You ever had that happen? I have. I've had it happen a lot. Right? And here lately, a whole lot. I just keep falling into them. I keep tripping right into them. It ain't that hard either. Right? Kind of like spraining this ankle right here. It just kind of like happens. Fell into it. Right? But we do. We fall into those things. Okay? When you fall into diverse temptations, what are those diverse temptations? What are those? Different ones. Many, many temptations. Many challenges. Many struggles. And, you know, I think you could take it both ways. When Paul talks about this, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's see if I'm right. If I'm wrong, then Jacob will find it probably, and that'd be great if he did. Let me see. Let's see. I'm probably wrong, Jacob. Probably am. Let's see here. I'm talking about when there hath no temptation taken you, such as common for man. Is it? I thought it was. Let's see. Let me see if I can find it. Yes. Let's see. I thought it was 2 Corinthians 10, but I guess I'm wrong. That's happened a few times to me. Okay. What's that? Yeah, a few times a day. Let's see. Let me look it up here real quick, because I don't have this in my notes, but 1 Corinthians 10.
Man, I was close.
Sort of. That's like the wrong book. Sort of close. 2 Corinthians wasn't the whole ball game right there. Right? You know, he talks about murmuring. He talks about their complaining. He talks about the lessons of Israel, right? He says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. There's nothing that you and I face right now as children of God that we cannot bear, right? Because God makes a way out of that. And what is that way? Faith. Faith. Faith is the way out of it. It is faith. God makes that way. Jesus Christ, obviously the Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But faith is the way out of that. Because we always have to believe what God says. We must always believe God's word. You know, it's something for us to say like that man did, I believe, Lord, help thou my unbelief. It really amazes me how much unbelief can be in the heart of a Christian. Let that sink in for a second. None of us would want to admit that. But how true is that? How true is it that there can be so much unbelief in the heart of a saved person? Well, how do you figure that? That's possible. Well, that man said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Right? And Jesus said to his disciples, O ye of little faith. He didn't say, O ye of no faith. Are you listening? This will be really practical tonight. Because I'm tired. That's not the reason. It's just because it's practical. O ye of little faith. Well, that means that Jesus is saying that at times our faith is little. What does that mean then? If our faith is little, then what is it? What has filled our heart? Doubt. Which doubt is the fuel for fear. Fear is the fuel for Satan to attack us. It's a means for him to attack us. It's like fuel to the fire for the devil. Oh, you're afraid. That means you're in the what? And not the... So now you are subject to... There you go. See that? Remember, let's go back, class. Let's remember this. We're going to go back again now. He said, O ye of little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt? Why do you doubt? Because you're of little faith. So then, God sends trials your way to what? Increase your faith. Amen. And no trial, you know, and no chasing of the Lord at the present is pleasant at all, is it? No. No, it isn't. Okay, so understand that. God is not talking to lost people when he said that. Jesus was not talking about people that had no faith. He wasn't saying, no, those are people of no faith. No, he said, he talked to those people. But no, he's talking to his children. He said, oh, ye of little faith. Little faith. He also said that if you had the faith, the grain of a... could move mountains. Why is that? Because little is much when God is in it. Right? Satan knows that if your faith is weak, if you are weak, if you are faint, then you are a pushover. And he can play with you like putty. And he does. Amen. Because you don't rebuke him steadfast in the faith. Amen. You know, it'll hit you. It does me sometimes. I get a little sick and tired of being pushed around by the devil. Right? And then you start to think, you know what? I better get my armor back on because I'm getting a little sick and tired of being pushed around. Right? Amen. I've already, you can identify that and say, you know what? I'm getting a little sick and tired of that. I'm getting tired of getting beat up for no reason. Because all he's doing is huffing and puffing and bringing fear, increasing fear, doubts, worries. Amen. So he says here, let's go back to where we were at. That's a side note. That's a bonus for Brother Zach tonight for showing up. Amen. Brother Zach, in your Pepsi uniform, that's, you get a bonus for that. All right. Jacob's like, well, I finished first. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting my brethren. Notice he says, my brethren. Over and over again. Count it all joy when ye fall in diverse temptations, knowing this. Knowing this. You got to settle this in your heart. You know, it's that every word Bible thing that gets you every time, doesn't it? He said, knowing this. Not wondering this, not doubting this. Knowing this. Well, how do we know this? Because he said it. That's why we know it. But I don't feel like it. Yeah, but he said it. Right? Amen. He said it. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let's pray. Father, I pray you would use this tonight, Lord, in our hearts, and help us to know that every trial you send our way, Lord, is to bring us forth as gold, is to work patience in us. It's a chastening of the Lord, these trials are, to yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness in them that believe. Oh, Lord, help us. Increase our faith, Lord. Be merciful to us, Lord. Holy Ghost of God, I pray that you would just fall down upon us here tonight and comfort the hearts of your people, Lord. Strengthen them for the fiery trial that is to try them. Help us, Lord, as we have many adversaries. You've given us an open door, Lord, but there are many adversaries. Help us, Lord. We need you, Father. We need strength that only you can give. Please, Father, help us to receive the love of the truth here tonight. Help us to embrace it. Help us to accept the trial of our faith, as all these challenges that come our way aren't to discourage us or to make us doubt your power in our lives or your interest in our lives or our interest in you, but to strengthen our faith. Help us to see that there are attacks of the wicked one that you permit sometimes, Lord, because we need them. So we trust you. Help us, Lord, to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so, you know, there's some things that in the Bible that really illustrate to us. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Well, how do we do that? Well, he's going to explain it to you. Peter explains it well. Let me get to those verses here. Give me a second. 1 Peter chapter 1, please. Peter goes on to explain it well here. Now, Peter is uniquely qualified to do this because Peter failed a lot. There's one good thing about failure. You kind of understand it. you understand the wrong way of doing things. Right? Pretty well. You're humbled by it. Okay? and you've been instructed the right way to do things. So Peter's failures were written for our admonition. Now, I know they didn't feel good to Peter when he was going through them, and my failures don't feel very good to me, and yours don't either to you. But they can be used through obedience to help others.
Right.
Amen. So Peter goes on to say, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now here he comes, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. All right. So how then do we have those that joy? Well, Peter actually, he kind of just told us. He gave you the reasons first, and then he said, now look, all that's important because this is going to happen. So, you know all that speech in the beginning that you feel like might be flowery? No, those are all instructions. Those are all instructions to have to count it all joy. He wasn't just like, you know, laying it on thick or anything like that. No, what he was doing, what Peter was doing there was explaining to you, well, this is how you can have joy. This is how you have joy through those trials. How? Number one, you remind them of Christ. There is, when people are going through trials and hardships, they need to be reminded of Jesus Christ. If you see this, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, we're going to get to that and we're going to explain kind of each one of those. But the Bible says when you have burdens, the only one that can lift any burden is Jesus Christ. He is the only true one that can lift any burden off of you. You know, he is the only one that can do that. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Psalm 61:2. It's a good verse to memorize, isn't it? From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. You ever had that? Oh, yeah. When your heart is completely overwhelmed and you feel as if you can't take any more, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Who is Jesus? He's the rock of our salvation, right? Amen? Jesus is the rock. He's the rock of ages. Amen? You know, even saved men, they get burdens. But what did Jesus say in Matthew 11:28? He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's just not to be saved. That's your continual salvation. We are sealed unto the day of redemption, yes, but there are three parts to our salvation. Amen? We are being saved in one sense. Amen. We are saved, sealed under the day of redemption in the other sense. But as we live this life, we are being saved from everything. Amen. So that's another sense, an aspect, okay, of salvation. And that is, this verse applies to the lost and the saved. And especially the saved, if you look at it from that standpoint, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Those heavy hearts, that cure for a heavy heart, a heart that is overwhelmed through manifold trials and temptations, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. You take it to Jesus and you go to him. You know, now, I know what you and I believe about that, we want to believe about that, is that, well, Lord, here, this burden is yours, Lord, now it's gone. And then when it's not gone and you still have issues and you still have problems, you're like, well, Lord, I gave it to you. Well, that's not exercising faith, is it? Exercising faith means that the trying of my faith worketh patience, right? It means that what do? It means I trust the Lord until he either gives me strength to continue through it, or he takes it away from me. Right? Listen to me. Listen to me. When every voice in your head, when every thought that you have, when every feeling that you have tells you to doubt God and what he has done for you, you cast it down. You cast it down. That's what the Bible says to do. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity into the obedience of Jesus Christ. You've got to cast it down. You cast it down. You don't entertain it. You cast it down. Amen. You cast it down. Jesus said, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, when somebody's going through trials, and we are going through trials, one of the best things we can do is have a fresh vision of Jesus Christ. We remember Jesus and what he did for us. We don't think on Jesus enough. We think on our own problems too much. We think on our own doubts. We even think about living this Christian life, but we don't concentrate and focus on Christ. Yeah, I want to be obedient, Lord, and yes, you should be. But you know what? You should think about Christ. Remember in the Bible tells us over and over what things to think. Think on these things. When you're having, you know, I've preached on it more than any preacher I know, and I've had more problems with it probably than any preacher I know. To focus on those things, right? To focus on Christ. Think on these things. That's Christ. Those are attributes of Jesus Christ. Think on these things, right? What are those things? Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, right? Yeah, a good report. Wait a minute. So if I'm thinking on things that have a bad report in my head and I keep thinking on them, that'd be a bad thing. It wouldn't be a good thing. That means that you and I are not having our thoughts where they need to be. And then our thoughts are going to move our hearts. And then our hearts are going to be downcast and discouraged. Right? Through those manifold temptations. Well, how do I have joy? I think about Christ and what he did for me, and I believe it no matter how I feel. I just believe God. Why? Because his word's true. Amen. The Bible says that Christ is our Sabbath, that he is our rest. Saved men that are in heaviness through manifold trials, they must remember Christ. They must get to know the bishop of their souls, that chief shepherd. What does Psalm 23 say? Man, we're going to read it, but we don't have time to really go through it tonight. That's going to be another sermon. Amen. I might even do something illustrated with that. I don't know yet. I'll get there. What's that? I was going to say PowerPoint, but I don't want Luke to punch me. I keep saying that. Yeah. Hey, we've had some good response on those too. Praise the Lord. People are the wolf one we put on there. Amen. You know what? Let's read this together. Psalm 23. Who's there? Everybody there? Let's read this together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest mine head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. So that is the 23rd Psalm right there, and that is the Lord is my shepherd. How God is a shepherd to us, how Christ is a shepherd to us. And you know, we need a fresh reminder of that because we forget that sometimes. We forget that ministry of Christ as being a shepherd to us. Amen. And we need to remember Christ. We need to remember that through our manifold temptations and consider what Christ went through. You know, Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee Why? Because he trusteth in thee. What is he going to say? Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Amen. That's the promise of God there. You know what happens? When your mind is not stayed on him, you know what happens? It's on yourself, and then doubts and fears and the trials overwhelm you. Because your mind is not stayed on him. You know what that song, Stayed Upon Jehovah? Hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Amen. Yep. When your mind is stayed on Christ. Amen. Come on, we got to get our hearts and our minds back where they need to be. We get carried away with the tempests and the storms and the trials and the doubts and the negativity and even foolish people that are out there and even the offenses that are there, whatever they may be. We get our minds distracted. Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Right? Cast thy burden upon the Lord. And then what did Peter say? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Hey, how about this? I want you to think about that for a second. He didn't say, you know, he said casting. You get that, right? That's continual. We forget that along the way, right? Well, I did. I casted it before. Yeah, but he said casting. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. We must make much to do about Jesus Christ. And remember his sufferings. Remember what he went through. And remember that the servant is not greater than his Lord. That when you are to be conformed to the image of Christ, it will not be pleasant and it will not be pretty. And it will not feel good. Right? Now, number two, Peter reminds us of the good of God's work in our salvation. He reminds us of what God did for us. Amen? So if you turn there, what you'll see is there's nothing better to help someone from a state of heaviness or of any sort of like that than to cheer them up to the promises of God. Remind them of God's promises for them. You know, he reminds us of the blessed Trinity and the work of our salvation. Look at that. It says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. So there's God's foreknowledge, right? Through sanctification of the Spirit. That is the operation of the Holy Ghost to sanctify you. To set you apart, to make you meet for the Master's use. Amen. That is the work of the Holy Ghost in your heart and in your life. Amen. You can sit there and wonder, well, there's no way I'd be doing this if I wasn't saved. I mean, I have no reason. Amen. Right? God took that whole love of the world out of me and that love for that flesh out of me. And yeah, we're always going to struggle with things because we're flesh and blood and flesh and spirit, and there's a war that goes on. Right? But that's the sanctifying work of the Holy Ghost, right? Unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. There's the Trinity right there. And grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Amen. He reminds us that the Trinity is not so much explained as it is illustrated there. Amen. That's the three part of our salvation, saved from the power of sin, the penalty of sin, and one day the presence of sin. The blood of Christ is in there, if you notice that. The blood of Jesus is in there. Then we see the sanctified, the work of the Spirit in there, sealed unto the day of redemption, right? And according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Amen. So when someone is in heaviness through manifold temptations, bring them to the Lord at this point. This may not pull them out of heaviness right away, But it's to place their mind and heart where it should be, consumed with the Father, consumed with God. Amen? Consumed with it. With who Christ is, who God is, who the Father is, and the ministering work of the Holy Ghost. You and I would think in our hearts that we would never lose sight of that, right? But it's so easy to be consumed with our own heartache, our own fear and anxiety, or the afflictions that we're going through, and grief that we have passed through, that we lose sight of the promises of God. That's why Peter's reminding, he's like, man, you know, that fiery trial, the trial of your faith, you know, you're going through it right now, man. You're in the thick of it right now. It don't feel good. Amen? But just remember the promises of God. Right? He then says, peace be multiplied, that God wants his children to have multiplied peace through temptations and heaviness of spirit. Amen? Say, why don't I? Well, because we have little faith. That's why. Amen? That's why. The great paradox of the ages is that God's people would be able to sing a song through all their afflictions. Right? Sometimes you don't feel like singing. But it's still there. Amen? But you're reminded of the promises of God, the salvation of the Lord through the Blessed Trinity that God has showed us there. Peter also then reminds us, number three, reminds us of our lively hope in the resurrection. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is a lively hope. That hope is a sure thing. Amen. We are men of hope because of the resurrection, and Peter reminds us of the gospel. Yes, saved people need to be reminded of the gospel and their interest in it, and more importantly, God's interest in you. Through heavy trials, we're to be reminded that the resurrection is about victory, that Christ secured victory by rising from the dead. He already secured victory. 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them which, that slept. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Yeah. Our hope is not in this life only, but in eternal life. Our hope is sure and steadfast that we shall rise, that to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. In this short time of affliction that we go through, it will pass. It will pass. Amen? God promised it would. It will not last forever. Right? Next, Peter reminds us of our inheritance. He says, you're going to go through these manifold temptations, the trial of your faith, all this heaviness that you're going to go through. But understand this. Remember your inheritance. Remember what God has promised you. To an inheritance incorruptible. Can't be corrupted. Undefiled. Can't be defiled. And that fadeth not away. Can't go anywhere. Promised. Reserved in heaven for you. My reservations have already been made.
Amen.
Who are kept by your own emotions and feelings? No. By how easy your life is and how good things are going. When the sun is shining and your house isn't flooding. Sorry, I had to. It's too soon, I know. When your van runs into a deer. Two accidents in the same van. Less than a year. Only 15,000 miles on it. Count it all joy, right? Oh, it's just stuff, right? It's all going to burn. Anyway. Right? It's all going to burn. That's right, brother. Maybe sooner or later. It appears so. The probability of that happening is high. As of right now. I know my insurance company thinks so. Right? No, you're not kept by that. You're not kept by how easy your day goes. Or if you get the house that you want when you try to buy it, right? Yeah, to have one to flood, that's right. Right? No. Right? Amen. No, it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith. Now, the power of God never faints. Now your faith is going to waffle, right? Right? If it was fat faith, it would waddle. That's what you would want it to do. You'd want it to waddle, but that's a big faith, right? That's a big faith, but instead it kind of waffles. But right? It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It cannot be corrupted. It cannot be defiled. It cannot fade away. It is reserved in heaven for you, and it is kept. That is preserved, kept. It is reserved in heaven for you. He reminds us that we are kept by the power of God through faith. God keeps us, and he uses even our faith. So we must exercise faith to have joy in trials. When we don't like it, we exercise faith. When we think we have none left, we exercise faith. We continue to remain faithful to the Lord and obedient to his word. If you want joy through trials, you must be faithful. This is the inheritance we have been promised because we are kept. It is eternal and it cannot be taken away. It was given by the eternal God, that blessed Trinity who did his work in man. How else do we keep joy through those trials? We're to put on the garment of praise. Turn to Isaiah chapter 61. You know, this is a piece of the armor that we rarely wear, and when we don't, we get into trouble very quickly. This is part of the armor of the child of God. Right? It's part of the armor. Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes and oil of joy for mourning. Right? As being filled with the Spirit of God, right? That oil is a picture of the Holy Ghost. That oil of joy, right? That's why David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. He didn't say, restore unto me my salvation. He said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Give me the joy again, Lord, that I once had. Amen? To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance. Right. Okay, here it is. Ready? It says, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. There it is. See that? Remember we talked about it? Now, those words mean something, right? What did Peter say? The trial of your faith. Oh, let's back up here. I missed it. Let's see. Where was that at? Oh, here we go. Wherein you greatly rejoice through, though now for a season, if need be, year in heaviness. Through manifold temptations. Well, what do I need for heaviness? I need the garment of praise. Well, now look, I don't really feel like praising God right now because I feel terrible. Well, that's just it. Praise isn't about you. Well, I don't want to praise God because I have all these doubts and these fears and all this other stuff and all these challenges and trials that I'm going through and everything, and I just don't feel like I should. I am praise. Well, I know, because you're thinking about yourself too much. And that's why you need the garment of praise, because praise isn't about you, it's about him. It gets your focus off you. We've already talked about this, that we're not much to think about. We're really not that much to think about. Amen? We really aren't. Even you, Zach, I'm sorry, you're just, you know? Right? the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So, wait a minute. So what you're saying is that, no, not what I'm saying, what God is saying, is that no matter what I feel like, I should be praising God. Yeah. That's really hard. What is that, Lee? Go ahead. Yeah, yeah, go ahead, read it. In everything, give thanks. That's that praise. What is Paul telling you? He's telling you to put on the garment of praise. Put it on. You mean, wait a minute. You mean I have to put it on? Yeah, you do. Remember he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. Wait a minute, I have to put it on? It's just not going to automatically just appear? It's not going to automatically just be put on? Nope. Yeah, but what about all this stuff that's good? Yeah, what about it? Hey, guess what? That's what it's for. This is the garment of praise, isn't it for when everything's going great, the sun is shining? No, it says for, what does it say here? Let's go back and read that. What does it say? It says, he said, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Right? There it is. So when the sun isn't shining, so when every trial seems to be like chasing me down, surrounding me, like locking me into a box, you're supposed to take out the, what? The garment of praise and clothe yourself with praising God. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. You mean not so I feel better? No, that'll be a byproduct of it. You actually will, eventually. Right? You will. Yeah. Yes, trees of righteousness, that's the fruit. Right, just like the chastening of the Lord, the Bible says it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Yeah, same thing. That's the gospel in Isaiah. Isaiah is filled with the gospel. Amen. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right, it does. And that's why God brings us through trials. Amen. Praising God gets our mind off ourselves. The garment of praise, that is the garment of clothing which shall be expressive of praise or gratitude instead of that which shall indicate grief. But I have a lot of grief. I know, that's why you need to praise God. Right? Then it is added, one said, to give still greater fullness to the cheering promise that the Lord will give the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The man is first made beautiful, next he has the anointing, then afterwards he is arrayed in robes of splendor. The garment of praise, what a dress is this, when a man wraps himself about it as if it were with the psalms and lives forever a chorister, singing not with equal voice but with the same earnest heart as they do who day and night keep up the never-ending hymn before the throne of the infinite. Right? What a life is his, what a man is he, by which may be meant here the robes of Christ's righteousness, later mentioned in Isaiah 61:10, so called because of the worthy of the praise for the preferableness of it to all others, being the best robe for its perfection and purity, for the fragrancy and acceptableness of it to God, and for its eternal duration. Also because it occasions and excites praise in such on whom it is put, and such likewise shall have praise of God hereafter, when on account of it they shall be received into his kingdom in glory. That garment of praise, one said, is bright colored garments indicative of thankfulness, instead of those that are indicative of despondency, like sackcloth and ashes. Right? You know, the Bible in Romans 13:11 says, "In that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Amen. You cast it off, and you put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Amen. Luke 15:20 says this, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion." Look at this. "And ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry." You have to put on Christ and not hang your head as woe is me. But you have to praise the Lord and continue to praise the Lord. Psalm 28:7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him. I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him." Psalm 42:11, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." He is the help of my countenance. See that? Have you ever had a countenance that was dark and it was cast down and it was dreary and full of doubts and fears and anxiety and grief and all sorts of things? Well, how does that change? Praise God. Praise him, right? Psalm 37:23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down." Amen. "For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." David goes on to say, "I've been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth on his seed and is blessed." Lendeth and his seed is blessed, excuse me. "Wait on the Lord and keep his way." Verse number 34. "Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it." 2 Corinthians 4:8. Paul said this. He said, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perisheth," right? Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Light affliction, but for a moment. Paul, everything that Paul just went through, he described. You and I would hardly call those light afflictions, but Paul did. He said, they are light afflictions. Yeah, but you don't understand the trial I'm going through. I don't, but Jesus does. Amen. The man of sorrows does. right? He understands that. So, you know, I want to finish up here with just 10 quick points here, or, you know, whatever. I don't even know if there's 10 here. Don't worry, it's not 10 points more, but just kind of a refresher here of the end here. The summary of the lessons we learn while we're in the fire, okay? Number one, it teaches us patience. Patience. You know, that another way of saying that patience is to wait on God. Right? Is to wait on the Lord. Serving the Lord and waiting for God. Amen? Waiting for God to do His work. In Psalm 62:1, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. And in verse number 5, my soul, David's talking to David saying, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. So it's patience to wait on God. It's perfect. It perfects number three, doesn't matter. It perfects that patience in us that it may have its perfect work. There's a perfection to your faith when patience has her perfect work. Number four, it humbles us. Trials, when you're in the fire, one lesson we learn is humility. That we think that we all think that we're a great heart, and God shows us that we are the ones that He is saying, "Oh, ye of little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt?" Right? We think that we're great, but we're really not. Right? It humbles us. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. And the Bible says next, at number 5, it says it yields that peaceable fruit of righteousness. That chastening of the Lord is different. And I think we've talked about this. I don't remember if I've taught you on all the different types of chastening in the Bible. I'm not sure if I did. Did I do that once? I can't remember. I know I did a long time ago, but I can't remember if I did it recently. But I might need another class on that. We've had another class on that. I have anyway. But it yields that peaceable fruit of righteousness in them that believe. That's what the Bible says. That's the yielding that it brings you closer to God. Right? The fruit of righteousness. It yields that fruit in you. Amen? You know, it teaches us to be, these trials and these manifold temptations, they teach us to be thankful for every blessing or victory. Amen. You know, so many times do you and I take the blessings of the Lord for granted. Yep. We take them for granted so much that we never rehearse them. We never mention them. We take them for granted. And we're not thankful for every blessing. Right? We're not. Or every victory that God gives us, we don't praise Him and thank Him for it. Right? We think we deserve it. Right? Or don't think much about it at all. David talked about it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Amen? Right? David said that over and over again, didn't he? But it teaches us to be thankful for every blessing and every victory that God gives. Right? Next, these trials, they prepare our hearts to properly receive blessings. When you have gone through heavy trials and God has brought you through them, you learn when God blesses you to receive it properly with the right spirit and the right attitude, an attitude of humility an attitude of praise and thankfulness to God. You receive it right. I think that you, if we're not careful, we can receive a blessing the wrong way. Right? And it develops pride in our hearts. So then God deals with us. And then the next time you won't receive it that way. Right? Next, it teaches us to trust the Lord and not our own understanding. My, if you get stuck in your own mind, how messed up you can really get. Anybody ever been there? More than I'd like to admit. More than Dave wants to admit. Yep. Right, Dave? Amen. How many times have you gotten stuck in your own mind and you're thinking, you don't realize it, but what you're doing is you're leaning on your own understanding. Because God's word says one thing, and then your mind is telling you something else. And instead of casting that down, you're agreeing with your mind. Or whoever it is. Whether it's the devil shooting fiery arrows at you, you're agreeing with him. Right. What's that? Yeah, exactly, you are. Come on in. The water's fine. But, right. But the trials, they teach you to trust the Lord and not to lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen? All thy ways. Not some of thy ways. Not a few of thy ways. Right? I know. In all thy ways. Because, you know, listen. We can think of some pretty good things, right? I mean, in our own understanding, we're like, we can justify just about anything. Yep. Now look, I got this all figured out. This is how this is going to work. Like, you got to figure it out. Just remember, when it doesn't work, you're going to have to come up with a solution. You better do what God says and not come up with your own way. Just follow the easy path right there. The simple path, excuse me, not easy, but the simple way. Right. Not your fishtail there, shortcut. Christian got in trouble in Pilgrim's Progress. Why? Because he kept trying to take shortcuts. He was always taking a short. Man, they would always tell them, if you just go up that hill right there, and you go to Mr. Legality's house, and you go this way, you're going to be just fine. Hey, that sounds like a great idea. What did he do? He leaned under his own understanding. What did Evangelist tell him to do? Right. Straight and narrow, right? Follow the light, right? He was supposed to just follow the light. You know? He didn't do it. And we don't do it sometimes. Right? We lean on our own understanding. We lean on it. We depend on it. Amen. So trials teach us not to do that the hard way. Right? Sometimes we have to have it the hard way. Right? I remember the first time that Christian did that. The evangelist just came back and he said, okay, now don't do that again. And he got him. Didn't I not tell you to stay and follow the yonder light that way? And yeah, you said, well, what'd you go that way for? Well, he's disobedient, right? Well, the next time there was an angel out there. Remember that? And he went the wrong way and he goes, now turn it, now lay down. That angel's like whipping him. And I know that makes a lot of sense. If you've ever been chased by the Lord, because you understand that, because it's like, okay, I warned you the first time, son. I'm not warning you anymore. I told you, whoosh, lie down. Whoosh, as many as I love, I chase. Just, right? Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Well, you get a little more zeal in you when you get a few whoopings. Okay, time to repent. Owie. But, right? He saw yonder light real good then. Right? I'm out of here. I'm getting back on the straight and narrow. Amen. That's what God does to you, though. He uses it. Amen. Hey, don't drag your feet. You better get moving. Yeah. Life, eternal life. That's right. Yeah, run. Lastly, and there's probably a ton more, but it the fiery trials, they teach us to acknowledge His hand in all things. This is a step of faith. And it grows through each trial, but God shows us that we must see His hand in everything. Even Job, when he was going through so many things, Job saw the hand of God in it. He knew that I think he had an idea that the devil was afflicting him. I think he understood that by what means the Lord was allowing it to happen. He understood it. Job was a righteous man, and he understood what was going on. He knew, and that's why he always kept saying God was allowing it to happen. And all of his friends were like, "No, it's because Job, you're a hypocrite. That's what you are. You're lost, Job. You're a lost hypocrite, you big liar. You've been holding on to your secret sin and doing all kinds of nonsense, Job." Job's like, "No, I'll hold my integrity till I die. I haven't been doing that." "Well, then why is God letting all this stuff happen to you, Job? Surely God doesn't afflict a righteous man." Right? But it says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but out of them all the Lord delivereth him." And he did. That's right. What's that? Right, what sin did he commit? Nothing to the glory of God. Right, that's right. It was the glory of God that it should be that way. So, you know, we learn to see the hand of God through those trials, and we have to. We have to trust God and say, "God, your hand is here." I don't know why, you know, there's going to be times where God's going to allow the devil to afflict you. And it's going to happen. And I wish I could say something differently, as opposed, like, that doesn't happen. If it wasn't in the Bible, I wouldn't say that, but it's there. And God allows it. And it's not always, it's not because Job sinned, because Job didn't. God never, you know, said that Job sinned. And God was the only one that could rebuke Job at that point, you know, because he was a righteous man and he was not doing wrong. But God allowed him to be afflicted. God allowed him to go through it. You know, yep. What's that? No, he did not get raptured. He went through it. You know, he went through it. And you know what? You're going to go through it. And sometimes you're not going to understand why. But know that if it wasn't for your good, God wouldn't allow it to happen. I thought about that. I think about that sometimes. It's very hard to accept, especially when you go sleepless nights praying and waiting on God. And you're like, I don't understand, Lord, why? And your heart becomes full of little faith. And you wonder, why, God, why? And you know what? The thing you have to resolve in your heart is that God doesn't owe you an explanation for anything. He doesn't. Like Job said, will a man contend with God? You know, I mean, God doesn't owe us an explanation. He may reveal it. He may reveal it in the end. He may show you in the end why. And he may not. He doesn't have to. Seeing God's hand in everything and acknowledging his hand in it all will show you, will put in you that resolve to say, "Lord, you're right, no matter what." You know, we wonder, why, God, do we have trials that shake our faith? Well, it's not to shake your faith. It's to strengthen your faith.
Amen.
Not to shake it. He's not trying to shake you out or even shake you up. He's trying to strengthen your faith. He's trying your faith so it comes forth as gold. So all of it is burned off, all of the impurities. And he gets the honor and glory for it. And he sends those trials and they humble us so we can take no credit for it. Right? Job, at the end of his life, at the end of the trial that he'd went through, Job could take no credit. He said, "I repent in dust and ashes." And he said, these things are too mighty for me. I don't understand them." And his friends didn't have an answer for him. You know, and sometimes the Lord is the only one that will explain it to you and show you why. And a lot of people won't understand it. That terrible things can happen to good people that love God. Hard times. Questions of their faith, challenges, doubts, fears, anxiety, griefs, pain, suffering. They happen to God's people. But God's still on the throne. He hasn't went anywhere. Amen? And Job, I mean, he experienced a time of that he didn't, God wouldn't answer him. I know what that feels like. That God won't answer you. And your heaven feels like brass. But you have to learn to trust God in the dark as well as the light. And you only learn to trust Him in the dark when the lights go out and you're challenged. You don't learn, your faith does not grow when the sun is shining and all is well. It grows when all is not well. And you trust Him and continue on and remain faithful to Him through it all. Amen? And you resolve that He is worthy. And that Job said that he would, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Think about that. He said that he would hold fast his integrity. He would not let it go. That he had been faithful to God. And he would not let it go. Father, Lord, please help us. Help us through the trials of life, Lord. I pray for strength. I pray for mercy. I pray for guidance and direction. I pray you'd teach us what we need to know, Lord. And have mercy upon your children and strengthen them in their faith. Build our weak faith, Lord, and help us to be stronger. May it continue to yield that peaceable fruit of righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.